All right, December 27th, In Heavenly Places. If you have the book, it's page 368. And the title is Longing for Heaven. And it says, yeah, I think it helped with the radiation, actually, is spirulina. And Brother Craig turned me on to that a few months ago. And we found out, well, actually, we started digging in and saying, wait a second, because of Fukushima and all this other stuff, we found out that some spirulina that you buy is radiated. And so Craig did a bunch of research, and he found out that the stuff that we've been buying and have been using all along is not radiated, and it actually removes radiation problems from your body. And it looks like a black powder, but it's actually dark, dark, dark green. And I'll share the brand. Craig probably has it handier than I do, because I have to disconnect everything to leave this room. So I don't know where he gets it. He sends it to me, and I take it every single day because it helps me with. I don't know. I just, like, in the middle of the day, I start getting tired and weirded out, problems, you know, and shakiness and stuff. And this now, I don't have that problem taking the spirulina. So, but I just put it in water. I put a little bit of water and I stir it up real quick. And I just love the way it tastes. But some people don't like it and they'll put it in a smoothie or something like that, you know. So, but yeah, works great for to irradiate spirulina. Okay, yeah, just ask Addy, Craig or Addy, because they're the ones that they know where the good stuff is. And I think it's like mostly seaweed and plankton, or I don't know, it's something algae, or I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's good. That's all I know. Works great. So I'll leave that in the recording too, because somebody might email me and say, hey, you know, I heard you know, so what's this stuff about? So I'll just contact them, you know, let them go to Craig or Addy, and they'll get it to them. Anyway, it starts off with Psalm 84, verse 2, and it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You know, I wonder. and I know there's no such thing as time machines, but I would love to have been a fly on the wall back in them days, or just to be in the courts. Would his presence be... You know how, like, every now and then when we're in prayer, or, you know, and you feel like a hug from the Heavenly Father, or you feel his presence, you know, I like to just call it a hug. And I wonder if they felt this walking into the courts of the Lord. Because, the Shekinah glory is right in there, in the most holy place, where, you know, it's pretty obvious he was there. So, and I'm just wondering, and that's why I can just see David going, I faint for the courts, my flesh crieth out for the living God, you know. And so, amazing. Yeah, amen. Psalm 27:4 too, yeah. But yeah, Psalm 84:2 is kind of similar to that. But thank you, Ken. Ken, it says, he sent me, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's heaven, you know. You know what David's talking about there. You know, he wants to be in that temple that's in New Jerusalem. And, man. And, of course, he was also, you know, no doubt talking about the temple that his son Solomon was going to build as well. Anyway, going on, she says, when God's people take their eyes off the things of this world and place them on heaven and heavenly things, they will be a peculiar people, because they will see the mercy and goodness and compassion that God has shown to the children of men. Now, here is the big difference in regards to what Leonor sent me in a PM earlier about the Westboro Baptist people. They're going out there saying that they're peculiar, like the Bible says. And so that's true Christianity. They're trying to tell people that's true Christianity. No. I honestly believe, especially because the woman that leads that group, you never see the man that comes out, the actual pastor, you rarely see anything from him. But I know he's behind us. I mean, my discernment just tells me that these two people, the pastor and his daughter, because that's his daughter that goes out, I know they're evil. I don't know if they're Luciferian, like actual devil worshipers that hate Christians so much, or atheists, let's say, that they actually went out and started a church, just like the Vatican did, to go after those Christians and cause problems for them, because these people are making Christians look very, very bad, and they're making us look hateful to the point where more laws are going to be passed, are going to be more difficult for us. And it's no mistake they're getting away with it, because that woman is a lawyer. And so she gets away with a lot of stuff because she knows the law. and she knows how far she could stretch it. And so they let her. It's obvious. You know, it's what's going on here. Although it is neat to see some people react to them and they scare them away because they're still fleshly. They're still worried about getting a little bruise because, and I'm not saying that that's right. You shouldn't go out there and start pounding on them and making Hamburgers out of them. What I'm saying is when they would pull up to a certain area, because I saw some of these videos on YouTube where they come up in an area and like at a funeral or something like that, and the people know that they're coming, they're going to start causing a problem. Some of the big guys come out there and says, you step out of those cars, it might be the last time you step out of any car. They literally scared them away. They didn't, you know, I mean, they were throwing stuff at their cars and everything. Lawyer or no lawyer? Well, take us to court. It's not a problem. This is a very grievous situation. And, you know, yeah, whatever. There's all sorts of reasoning, I'm sure, behind their desires to pummel them. But it's not very Christ-like, of course. Let them do what they want to do. But anyway, Sister White goes on to say his love, and the reason I bring that up is because of the fact that being peculiar in Christ is to, it's why Peter swore, at, you know, right before the rooster crowed. Because when you hung with Jesus, in those days, you know the Jews and stuff, I mean, it's just like with today. The so-called religious leaders are pretty vulgar and they're pretty, let's just say, down to earth. Okay, let's put it that way nicely. But the 12 apostles that hung with Jesus were obviously different. They were peculiar. That's why that one girl said, your speech giveth you away. It proves that you were with Jesus. Because anybody that was with Jesus, they had gentle hearts, loving tone of voice and stuff like that. So Peter, of course, swore. And so being peculiar, it's peculiar in the way that glorifies Christ, not in the way that glorifies Satan like the Westboros do it. Okay? So anyway, going on. She says, his love will call forth a response from them, and their lives will show to those around them that the Spirit of God is controlling them, that they are setting their affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. And so, amen, I should have just kept reading. But she says, in thinking of heaven, we may put our imagination to the utmost stretch and think the loftiest thoughts that we are capable of thinking, and our minds will grow weary in the effort to comprehend the breadth and depth and height of the subject. It's like the Bible says, you know, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor has it contemplated into the hearts of men what God's got in store for those who love Him. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. But, yeah, you can't even fathom where we're headed and the blessings that are going to be bestowed upon us. And this is what really saddens my heart deeply, especially when someone has a large amount of intelligence or talent, even. You know, you think of some of these people in the world, like celebrities and stuff like that, that are extremely intelligent or extremely talented and stuff like that, and they're doing all that just for the glory of self, and they're all going to hell in a handbasket, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, you could just be, you know, I mean, with your intelligence, you think you'd crack that book up, you know, or crack that book open and read it. And it's just like with people that I know, and I have loved ones that are like this too in my my father's family, let's say, that never read Bibles, but they'll read, you know, 3 or 4 books, or like my mom, 7 books a week, but never open a Bible. It just amazes me. Anyway, she says it is impossible for our minds to take in the great themes of eternity. It is impossible for us to even make an effort to understand these things without the effort affecting our whole character for good and having an uplifting influence on our minds. And amen to that. It's just like when you think of like when and I'm paraphrasing again, of course, here, when David was walking in the upper courts of his kingdom and he saw all the old men sitting around and talking and gabbing and stuff like that, and some of them were angry, and he was praising God that the Holy Spirit had calmed his heart to the point as he's growing older, he's getting better. Where these men are getting older, they're getting worse. And that's what's very sad. You see some of these, I mean, we've all heard the term dirty old man, and there's all sorts of definitions to that. It's not just like most people think when you think dirty old man when it comes to the perverted aspects of things, but there's all sorts of, because I've had many a neighbors, and I thought, why is it? It's such a problem for you to just continue on breathing all day. I mean, these people, the slightest thing would set them off. And they were in their 60s or 70s or 80s when I was living up near Chicago. And I thought, man, what kind of an existence is that? You know, wouldn't you want to be in a good mood rather than, you know, constantly boiling inside, and then sure enough, they would have strange diseases because of it, because hatred, it's not very good for the body, you know, on top of everything else. Anyway, she goes on. She says, as we think of how Christ came to our world to die for fallen man, we understand something of the price that was paid for our redemption, and we realize that there is no true goodness or greatness apart from God. Only by the light shining from the cross of Calvary can we know to what depths of sin and degradation the human race has fallen through sin. And only by the length of the chain let down from heaven to draw us up can we know the depths to which we had sunk. And it is only by the keeping of the keeping the unseen realities in view that we can understand anything of the wonderful theme of redemption. And I like the way she puts that, the unseen realities, which means keep your eyes on heaven. You realize it's there. It's a reality. It is there. We know heaven exists. We know our Father is there and His Son is there, our Lord, and of course the Holy Spirit is mostly down here helping us. And I would think in heaven as well. I mean, He's everywhere. And I would love to have just one vision like Ellen White did about going into the city of New Jerusalem, but I can wait, you know, to get there. I mean, you know, it's not necessary, obviously. If it's not necessary, it's not necessary. The Lord knows best, of course. But still, to see what she saw, and every now and then I like to contemplate. Okay, it's just like an everyday, no big thing. Well, it's not. No, okay, you're in heaven. Okay, but still, ever do this? Like when you're in prayer, just and I like this usually comes up when I'm in the midday prayer because I have a tendency to wander and walk around or something like that. Unless it's winter, and then I like to more or less stay in and just read, you know, scripture and then just contemplate what I've read. But ever think of what Enoch is doing right now, or Moses? I mean, these guys have been up in heaven for thousands of years. And to them, it's reality now. It's absolute, unequivocal reality. It's life. It's the real definition of life. Down here is the definition of test for life. Because this isn't life. Life's not supposed to end. Down here, it ends. So when we get there, we'll understand the real definition of life. But I like to think about that every now and then about what's he doing. I know he's probably working on the vine or working on his house or just walking down some butterfly-ridden path in some beautiful little grove somewhere, you know. And it's just another day in the kingdom, and he's been doing that for thousands and thousands of years. And I'm thinking, man, well, I'm still down here. I don't like it, you know. But I still like to think about it every now and then and think, wow, just the, you know. I don't know. I just love contemplating being in the kingdom anyway. So she goes on. We are almost home. We shall soon hear the voice of the Savior, richer than any music, saying, your warfare is accomplished. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Blessed, blessed benediction. I want to hear it from His immortal lips. I want to praise Him. I want to honor Him that sitteth on the throne. I want my voice to echo and re-echo through the courts of heaven. Will you be there? God help us. And fill us with all fullness of power, fullness and power. And then we can taste of the joys of the world to come. Amen and amen and amen.